grind.
Alright, where are you going? Here, okay?
Grind.
Oh my god.
Not coming in, I figured it, man.
Good job, buddy.
The Hunt for Answers. The Ugly Pike Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Ugly Pike Podcast on the Outdoor Journal Radio Podcast Network. Today, another Full Moon Friday is upon us. Our episode is brought to you by Canada's only specialized pike and muskie shop, Izoco. Head over to izocofishing.com and check out all the amazing hand-picked, top-quality gear they have to offer. This episode is also proudly brought to you by Angling Sports, based in London, Ontario, and serving customers throughout Canada and the northern U.S. With over 30 years of unmatched angler support, they offer top-tier fishing products catering to every skill level. Explore their offerings at anglingsports.ca and gear up for an unparalleled fishing experience. Mr. Frank, how goes the battle? Welcome back.
Yeah, it's a battle, I tell you. We're trying to gear up for so much. We're going to talk about some new product launches.
Before we get into it, isn't it ironic? Like everybody, you know, you finish the season and everybody thinks it's a break, but now you understand why guides say they need that mental break, because I imagine on top of the just the physical and mental break they get, they're doing all the same shit that we're talking about right now, gearing up for the new season, looking at the new products, fitting out their, you know, repairing all their gear, getting everything ready. And that's just like a huge exercise in itself. So, we are in the off season, but at the same time, we're always thinking about what's, you know, we're almost halfway through the off season. And then, you know, just around the corner, we're ready to start fishing again.
Yeah. It's really weird for us. Cause the fishing season now is like not the busy season anymore, because, you know, with the beer, with this new project we're picking up and some other product launches that we're going to announce a little bit down the road, some cool ideas that we've got and the e-commerce store we're going to be building. I've never worked this hard on the show, and the balance of everything I do in life is starting to tip in terms of, you know, maybe 20% of my day was Ugly Pike before. Now it's like 40 or more. So, It's definitely a good thing, but this is our guide season right now for sure. We're in the muck right now, but you know what? It's exciting. So especially since I think we're on the verge of making a good solid deal with a new brewer for the beer, which is really exciting. I know we've been saying that for a while, but it's really happening now. So there's actual documents going back and forth, and we're really in the final stages. And within a week, we'll have it all buttoned up.
What a learning experience. Sorry to cut you off, but I mean, to think that we would go through something like this. We were totally unprepared, and, you know, not because, you know, we didn't do our homework. It's just the circumstances dictated that we were put in this situation. And here we are now, like, trying to find a home, and, you know, we might have found a great home, actually, but just that whole process was something we were not planning for. And, obviously we apologize to the listeners, because we had a product ready and it was kicking ass, and we're ready to just explode with that. And now we had to pivot a little bit, but we're going to be back in full swing very soon.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not, we had a lot of learning experiences. There's no questions, but we went in with our eyes wide open. I think we achieved a lot of success. The product was well received, but you know what? We had some not so virtuous actors in the equation, and that's really what hindered things for us. And so, this time around, we're going to launch a great new product that I'm super excited for, because I just am. The can design, I've seen one can design, Chris, from you. I know you're working on an inverse layout that I'm really excited to see. I don't know how that's going to go. Hopefully choosing the final version will be easier than choosing the theme song that we put onto the show. you know what? So first distribution for the year will be in beer stores and online. And then we'll be working our channels into supermarkets and LCBO. It's probably going to take about a year, but the we're going to really strategically place this product into beer stores around cottage countries and centers where we know we have listeners. And if anybody can't find a place near them, they'll be able to order online very painlessly. And this product is different than the last product, and I think people are going to like it more. So that's all. I think that's all we should say about it for now.
All right. So on the horizon today, I've been waiting for a report from you for a while in terms of the Muskie or the Chicago show. You went down there, and obviously I didn't join you, and we really haven't had a chance to go over all of the stuff that happened there. We kept putting it off because we had other guests and other priorities. So yeah, let's open that up today and get a little bit of inside information from you, and maybe share with the listeners your general impressions of the event. You know, I don't know where to start. Or obviously, you can start, but one of the questions I would have just off the bat was like, what's the size of the event like compared to, you know, our traditional Muskie Odyssey in Canada and Ontario? And maybe we'll just start there and talk about the experience of that, the location, and maybe the, you know, just the general like opening impression.
Yeah. I'm probably going to make some mistakes just because I don't know the data, but I know that the Chicago Muskie Expo gets somewhere between 7,000 and 9,000 attendees in attendance. And so it's pretty big. The actual exhibits I felt was similar in size to the Odyssey, maybe a little bigger, but it was hard to gauge because it was in two different rooms in the convention center where we were at. So it may be a little bigger, but I just don't know. But kind of the feel was really cool. And I know, you know, I talked to Ryan Pickering. I talked to the guys at Muskies Canada a lot. Ryan, or one of the representatives from MCI, is going to be coming on an episode that will be released in March to hype up the Odyssey. And I know they're doing things differently this year in terms of special events, a lot more outside of the venue itself and of the Odyssey itself is taking place, which is really exciting. So, you know, I love the Odyssey. You're with your people, but I always wish like we could see each other afterwards and get deep in the social aspect of it. And everybody went for dinner last year, but everybody kind of sat at their own tables and it was hard to network and it was crowded. And I think they're really going to hit it out of the park this year. But with Chicago, it just feels different because it's all Americans, frankly. And so
you didn't have any Canadian population at all there? Like it just felt 100% American?
Yeah, I didn't see anybody walking the show that was
from even lodges and stuff like that or just the
Yeah, so vendors, yeah, we had some Canadian companies in the vendor sphere, yeah, but I mean you talk to the vendors and then that's pretty much it. It's like, but everybody that came to the booth that listened is, you know, they were Americans. And it's no matter how long we've been doing this and no matter how many times we see the statistics about how many people are listening and how many countries, it's just always weird when someone says, I'm from Wisconsin, I listen to your show. It just feels weird. I don't know. In a good way. It's just very, it's gratifying, but you get to talk to a bunch of new people and, you know, I go to the Odyssey, Chris, you go when you can, you've been to one and I've been to a few now and I'm starting to see the same people, which is wonderful. You know, you get a rapport with your listeners, with the community. It's awesome. But these are people I just didn't even know who any of them were coming up to us or coming up to our booth and just, you know, saying how much they love the show. So that was a real validating and really fun. It's just a different culture, but at the same time we have this commonality, so it was cool, man. And the other thing I'll say is
the same time you see a bunch of people paying money to come out to a show because they just love Muskie, they love the sport, they have the passion is kind of like pervasive in Canada, Ontario, I mean the Canada, US, or anybody hunting this fish. You can probably relate right off the bat, you know, with that passion with them.
Yeah. And I saw like some people who had like, I guess it would be tantamount to like when we have Muskie Canada chapters, but I would see guys there repping their own chapters for their organizations. And they, man, these guys were just hardcore anglers, hardcore partiers. It was a trip. It was so fun. And then, you know, the hall, the organizers bring in this dude who's got a trailer size smoker, and they had like the best barbecue food and barbecue breakfast sandwiches. It was a real affair. It was a lot of fun.
The vendor meet and the vendor kind of food trucks or food stations are always great at those shows. What, like, was there something unique there that you hadn't had before and you can't wait to have it again?
No, just, you know, a sofa sized smoker on a trailer smoking really good brisket. And, you know, just barbecue is like that, right? Barbecue is either shit or it's really good. It's really hard to be in the middle of barbecue. Either you dry it up or you screw it up, excuse me, or it's bland or it's awesome. And this was awesome. And it's hard to cook for, you know, how many people. I don't know how many people were there. Like I said, I think they say about 8,000 or so people go to this show, but they really did it right. So it was cool to be a part of. You know, I was in the Red October Bates booth. We set up in a little corner of the booth because they had a huge booth. And so, you know, we had just fresh off the heels of our episode with Josh and Hans and Mark. And it was great to spend time with those guys. And their booth was crazy busy. Like, they had a hose bait-esque
Frank, you're gone,
rush
buddy.
To their table, you know?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. Can you hear me? Chris?
Yep. Yep.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah. So what I was saying was they had a hose bait-esque mad rush to their booth when the doors open. And for anybody who goes to the Odyssey, you know, people like literally line up overnight to get to Hoser's table and his baits are gone in 14 minutes. It appears that, and I talked to Mark and the guys in the booth after, that like tubes are really, you know, what is old is new again. They're being rediscovered, and for whatever reason, they're in super high demand. And Red October brought these custom painted tubes, and they were, I've never seen anything like it. People were coming to the table and like you would carry, like if you had too many groceries and you're using two hands and, you know, bundling everything in your arms and just trying to get your key in the door. Like, people were carrying that many tubes away from
You're talking about a resurgence or something, but I remember at the Odyssey, the one I went to, they had the same issue. They were sold out in like a couple hours or not even like an hour. And it was like, they brought in a massive stock and guides would go up and buy like 30 of them, 40 of them, you know, like, and just clean them out. And I remember that discussion with them that they were like, they didn't bring enough stock because, you know, they didn't realize they were going to be selling out so fast. So it's not like people haven't realized the value of tubes, or do you think that just more anglers are using them now? Or is that what they're saying?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that show, Chris, was 7 years ago. The one that you and I started the podcast, it's 6-7 years ago, right, in St. Catharines.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened between now and then with their business.
True.
It could simply be growing. But I remember Mark saying we didn't bring enough inventory. He said that again this trip. So
well, maybe at that St. Catharines one, they brought like 500 tubes or 200 tubes, and maybe at this one they brought 1,000 and they sold out. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't bring, I'm not sure what they brought. I don't want to misspeak, but for whatever reason, the demand is blowing up right now. Not for whatever reason. These are great baits. I mean,
I
got myself a bunch too, because I want to start casting them more. Right now, I primarily use them for jigging, but just all the stories of these guys casting these baits. And plus, they're super easy to pull. You know what? They're a good bait for when that fish follows your blade in and isn't hitting, and you want to throw something different out to retarget that fish. So, I'm excited to really redeploy these as well. So, I mean, if it's happening with me, I think it's happening with a lot of people, and they're definitely reaping the benefits of it and well deserved. They're just an awesome group of guys and a great company. And, you know what, they do what they say they're going to do. So they're a pleasure to work with. So that was a lot of fun. That was for me a lot of fun, and a big part about the fun that was had at that show was connecting with those guys and spending some real time with them.
Nice.
Yeah.
So was there like a media there? Were people walking around doing interviews and stuff like that?
I didn't see any. No. I mean, it would have been good for us to do, but it's tough. You know, like I wanted to talk to a lot of the vendors and talk about our sponsorship program, but you know, people are busy setting up and then their booths are swamped.
Yeah.
And I didn't stay the Sunday, which I probably should have in hindsight, but I had a previous engagement back home. And so I had to fly home. But so it's hard. I had to pick and choose my times to do some networking. I did. I met some really cool vendors who had some amazing products. And you know what? I'm sure we'll see a lot of them at the Odyssey. But like Fly Fishing Company, I met a guy named Dan who owns a company called Musky Fool, and they do fly fishing sales for gear and stuff. But I haven't seen nicer apparel than these guys. I bought a hat off these guys. They had some really nice apparel, and I didn't know who they were. I've never heard about them ever. So it's nice to see these little businesses popping up and in our industry, and then talking to the people who are owners of these businesses and hearing about how well they're doing is really cool to see.
Okay, so I'm just checking them out right now online. Yeah, that's some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I bought a really nice hat that I'm just
Musky Fool. They're fly fishing.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Really nice stuff. Good quality and well designed. All their stuff is like custom made. So their hats have their tags. Cause like naturally the first thing I did when I got the hat was, oh my God, who makes this? And it's their tag on the hat. So these guys are pulling out all the stops with their apparel, and it shows. They're nice stuff. Really cool. Got to hook up with.
Okay. So let's also talk, what, for example, was there any new baits or custom baits or something that you hadn't seen yet that stood out that was like, wow, what the hell is that? I need one of those, whether it's like just a completely new bait in general or some just standout crankbait that, you know, blew your socks off, like anything like that. I'm sure it was loaded with stuff like that.
Probably. Oh boy. Yeah. I saw quite a few. On the different spectrum, I think we've all heard of, I think they're called Beaver's Baits, and they're the Beaver, right? I'm not talking about Beaver Baits. There's Tony with Beaver, and he sells great stuff. He wasn't there, but there's Beaver's Baits, and they make the actual Beaver, the bait that looks like a beaver. And I remember
– We have one.
I don't know.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
We caught one.
Do you remember?
Black Sewell with the Beaver Bait, the baby Beaver or the small – there was like two versions, wasn't there? One was a small –
Yeah.
Smaller version.
Chris, who caught that fish? Was it me or you? I don't remember.
I think it was Ben.
Ah, right. Okay. What do you remember where we got that bait from? Because I don't.
Oh, we got it at the Odyssey.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure. And it just sat there for a while because we didn't know what to do with it. Because we weren't using it on the Niagara River. And then I think we just like all talked about on the boat, like, well, we got this stupid bait that we've never thrown. Yeah. You know, lo and behold, we throw it on and fish.
Became
the confidence bait. And we love it.
Well, I mean, look, it's just like I said about the Red October
bait. It looks great.
It looks great. But I mean, even if you're not going to put that in your primary lineup, it's that perfect bait for a throwback bait when you get a follow. Like, I'm a big believer that if a fish is following me, I'm not throwing that bait next cast. I am changing lures. That fish did not hit the bait. And I've had so many lessons now where I've done that and was rewarded literally on the next cast with a strike. So that's the way I'm going to roll. And you know what? I mean... They have so many different versions now. I talked to the owner, I forget his name now, but I talked to the owner, great people in that booth. And they talked to us about how they listened to the community and the feedback. And they engineered variations of this bait in accordance with what the anglers wanted. And of course, you know, judging by the traffic at their booth and everything, and the size of their booth, this company is obviously growing, that they're onto something there. And so I was really stoked to see that, because they're great people. And it's just, it's a bait that's like no other, right? And this is an industry where there's just a lot of duplication.
Yeah, it's one of those baits also. Like, you look at it, you're like, do I throw this? What do I do with it? Maybe it's too much. Maybe, like, you're kind of like, until you catch that first fish on it and you have confidence, then you realize the value in it. So once we caught, you know, we were tossing that around between the three of us, and you know, I felt, and they're also like, they're easy to pull, they're easy to work,
super easy, yeah. I think they did something with the weights in the head of the bait now, so there's a little more dive and rise action on one of the models. Anyways, I was talking to him about. I should have bought one. I don't know why the hell I didn't buy one, but I'm sure I'll have the opportunity at the Odyssey before the season starts, and I want to get that in my boat. I have the one that we bought, but just the changes they made to the bait, I want the new model. So, you know, I'm not that guy who goes and buys every version of the iPhone or the Android that comes out, but I want the new Beaver bait.
You got to go on a two-year cycle, 2 or 3 year cycle. Every time you just upgrade everything.
I go on a cycle, when it breaks, I get a new one. All I do is take pictures of my phone. So that was cool. You mentioned customs. I checked out a booth. Probably the most surprising booth to me was BNN, Custom Rods and Tackle. Great guys again on that booth. But just like all these tons of baits that I've really never seen or heard of, all custom, all works of art. And to see such a big display that I was in the dark about was really interesting, to see some of the stuff they had. They had all sorts of different types of lures, hard, soft, hybrids, big, small.
This is the BNN Custom Rods?
Yeah, Custom Rods and Tackle. So they had a really cool, diverse offering. But I'll tell you what, Chris, one of the things that really surprised me was a lot of these vendors had really small baits. Like, I wanted to buy them for walleye fishing. They were like rip and wraps, like the size of rip and wraps, maybe a little bigger. Hmm. And in their musky booths. I know Lungeon Lures had a couple really, really cool ones. I was at Spanky Baits' booth too. They have really nice rods, but they had really small, I mean, not crankbaits, but really small bucktails, which, Chris, is an interest to us, as you know.
Yeah.
Hint, the audience.
Yeah.
But it was validating to see these little tiny blade baits. And I'm like, hey, you know, do people get these for pike? And he's like, yeah, they're selling like crazy for pike. So, it was interesting. Chris, it was a great show for so many reasons. Networking, sponsors, meeting listeners, and then also seeing, you know, the types of baits out there that are just, you don't think to use, right? And that evidently people are using, if these vendors are trucking them halfway across the state and putting up a display to show them, right?
Well, speaking of like cool products and new companies and like new baits or exciting stuff you saw, was there any like new technologies that were like advertised or showcased there that we haven't seen yet? Like, I don't know if there was any new electronics that were shown or any new type of lures that you hadn't seen at all, like a completely out of the box lure that you've never seen before thrown for muskie. Anything like that?
Technology, no. The
reels? New reels, you see?
No, there was really not a big presence. Like, Garmin wasn't there, Humminbird wasn't there, Daiwa wasn't there, Shimano wasn't there. The only sort of mainstream, the only sort of mainstream vendor that was there was St. Croix. And honestly, like, look, I use a St. Croix. I love my Legend Elite. Everybody knows that. But I don't know. This show was, to me, about what the little guys are doing. And like I said, Spanky had some really nice-looking rods. Nice-looking. I didn't get a chance to really hold them and stuff. Chaos, which I'm going to get back to, had an awesome looking trolling rod that I held and loved. And we know that companies like Barbarian coming out with awesome trolling rods. I just think that right now that the little guys are owning the space and leading the way and are so impressive right now. So I was far away from, I stopped in, I said hi to Jesse Simpkins in the St. Croix booth, who I've talked to many times for different reasons. And his uncle, who used to be the marketing director, might even still be there. But I know those guys. I had a great chat with him. But the little guys are really, and I say the little guys, I mean, Chaos isn't a little guy. And you asked about a bait. My God, I saw a topwater bait. I bought it actually, Chris. Actually, Ugly Pike Media Corp bought this bait. So it's mine and yours. We'll split it in half. But it's called a Psycho Flat Tail. So if anybody wants to check that out on the Chaos site, it's a topwater bait that looks like it's an incomplete bait. It looks like it's not even finished being made. And I called Trevor and I called Vince over from Chaos, and I'm like, what the hell is this thing? Like, it's one of those things that looks so kind of weird and just different that. And then I started hearing stories about how well this is working for the anglers that are using it, and right away I bought it. Wow. So it's one of those baits that, you know what, if you're on pressured water and it's a slow day, you're going to throw this and it's going to be something the fish have never seen.
Shout so that's why out, I went out to Izoco. I just found it on their website.
Hey, Izoco.
You know what, Frank? This is like my Big Mama chopped in half.
Chopped in half. Exactly. It looks like it's incomplete.
Yeah, because I had the, I have the clicker, right? That big metal dangly yep. Clicker that hangs about halfway down. And it seems like from that point, it's been cut in half, and they added this, like, it's a very similar bait, you know, like, and that looks, but you're right. It looks so strange when you look at it, but it's exciting. It's like, I want to throw that.
It is exciting. And I guess what I was talking to Trevor, who's one of their marketing guys, and he was telling me that just the signature in the water with this is like nothing you've seen before. So it's got a, I haven't run mine, so I don't know what to say about that, but I think sundown on the first day of opener, I'm putting that sucker on.
Right. And you haven't run ours. I'm going to use that thing too. I'm really interested in that. Cool. Which color did you get? Did you get the perch or the bollock or fire tail? Which color did you get?
Chris, I don't know why, but I couldn't stop looking at the solid cream color one. So that's what I bought.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know what they call it there, but
bone.
It just
bone.
Bone. Okay, so like, look, I've got a boat full, Chris, of fire perch.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know what I mean? We got so many.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
So this is a left field bait, and I wanted everything about it to be different.
That loon looks nice. Whoa.
Yeah, well, I have an affinity for topwater loon lures, yeah. As you may or may not remember.
Of course I remember.
My wrist remembers, and the doctors at the Sioux Lookout Hospital remember also. But again, it was left field. I wanted left field. And so the bone just attracted me, and you know what? We're going to find out in early June on the Rideau River. I'm going to be tossing the shit out of that thing. So we'll see.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, insofar as vendors, I think the only thing, if I can add, was I reconnected with Duff over at Supernatural Big Baits. And I say reconnected because we interviewed them at, you know, Ugly Pike Podcast Episode 2. We interviewed them at the Odyssey. And we didn't really understand the community. I'm not sure if the Headlock or Matlocks at the time were the iconic baits they are now, but I see this colorful Arowana color bait, and I put it up on our social media, I think, when I bought it, but I'll put it up again. When does this air? This airs in a few days. So on Friday, I'll put this up when this episode launches. I'll throw that bait up so everybody can see it. Chris, I mean, not only the colors, but the way it shimmers when you move it. I, I don't like paying a lot of money for lures. I just don't think it's necessary. But I had to buy this bait.
Did you go home and throw it in your bathtub and start trying to like see how the action was?
I didn't, no. But man, it's, you know, it's got the aluminum lip. It's a tank. And you know, after speaking to some of our friends that are very prestigious anglers in the community, you know, everybody says that these baits are just fantastic. So I don't know what to make of this color.
Oh, you sent me a picture of it. I'm looking at it. It's got like from the photo, like what's that word, effervescence, or like it has some sort of shine to it, right? Like a glow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Wow.
It's like it has a textural layer underneath whatever final layer they put on it. And so when you move it, it comes alive. This thing comes alive. And so the color is so ridiculous. I mean, you know, match the hatch, match the forage. We're not doing anything. This thing looks like a freaking parrotfish. It looks like a wrasse. I mean, it looks like salt water. But you know what? Clear water, high sun, high sky, clear skies. I'm putting this on. I'm going to run it. We're going to see what happens. So,
well,
it's awesome.
Got no shortage of baits for the upcoming season to try out. That's for sure.
Right. And, you know, I have a feeling that 80% of what you and I are throwing this year is going to be a bait that's going to be near and dear to our hearts that we're going to talk about in a later episode. So it's going to be a busy season.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and musky shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
Hi, everybody. I'm Angelo Viola.
And I'm Pete Bowman.
Now, you might know us as the hosts of Canada's favorite fishing show, but now we're hosting a podcast.
That's right. Every Thursday, Ange and I will be right here in your ears, bringing you a brand new episode of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Now, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours every week?
Well, you know there's going to be a lot of fishing.
I knew exactly where those fish were going to be and how to catch them, and they were easy to catch.
Yeah, but it's not just a fishing show. We're going to be talking to people from all facets of the outdoors, from athletes.
All the other guys would go golfing. Me and Garth and Turk and all the Russians would go fishing.
To scientists.
But now that we're reforesting and letting things, it's the perfect transmission environment for Lyme disease.
To chefs.
If any game isn't cooked properly,
marinated,
or you will taste it.
And whoever else will pick up the phone.
Wherever you are, Outdoor Journal Radio seeks to answer the questions and tell the stories of all those who enjoy being outside.
Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
Oh, Chris, I should mention now, even though we're on the air, I don't care. Pete Bosselman invited us up to Georgian Bay in the summer.
Awesome. I have unfinished business there after that. We got crushed those 3 days. So yeah. I'd love to go there and have some success.
Yeah, so that's a really exciting offer. So I think we should move heaven and earth to get over there. And you know what? Maybe when we go up to Nipissing, if we're going up again this year, it's not much to hop over, cross the highway there and hit the bay. So we'll talk about how to put that together. But oh my God, imagine his tackle box.
We got to line up our fishing plans for the summer, because you know we still have some big things that could happen. So we need to talk about that and get ready for, you know,
this is great.
Summer of fishing. Yeah, I'm very excited. And yeah. So what next? What do you want to talk about next?
Well, I have the Niagara region's best meat procurer, cutter, and preparer sitting next to me. Are we ready to transition?
Well, if we're ready to talk about kick-ass boat snacks created from high-quality, high-protein grass-fed beef, I think he's the man to talk about, right?
Chris, why don't you tee up the project that we're doing? Because everybody's sick of listening to me talk at this point. Do you want to tee that up, and then we'll get into the meat and bones of it?
Let's bring him on. Robbie, how are you? Is he there?
Good, Chris. Thanks for having me. Frank, thank you.
We're excited to talk to you. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we can talk a little bit about what we're planning to do with you. And before we do that, Frank, maybe we just have a quick intro and where Robbie's from, and you know, what's your shop, and what's your specialty, and what's your, you know, how long you've been doing this?
I operate Norcini & Co. Butchery and Deli, Portage Road, Niagara Falls. We opened shop May 2021, which is about 2.5 years ago. The concept was really, how do I sell my cured meat? So I actually had a meat company, Ben Amino Meats, which focused on Italian salumi. And we were selling that, you know, I made that in my garage, selling it to friends and family, kind of took it to the next level, got it legally made, and we were wholesaling. And I thought, you know what, I really want to bring this to the people directly. And that's where the concept of Norcini came, is let's create a butcher shop, prepared food shop, deli, and we can sell the cured product in there. So Norcini itself is a full animal butcher shop. We do all custom cuts, custom products. Everything base standard is antibiotic-free, hormone-free, pasture-raised, and as local as it can be. And in the Niagara region, it's about 2 hours because there's not too much farmland right in Niagara itself. And our biggest thing is, we do 100% grass-fed and finished options, and we also do dry aging. So those two things are kind of our biggest stuff. And our bread and butter is a dry-age ribeye, which we dry age in-house anywhere from 21 to 60 days.
And one of your best customers is sitting right beside you, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, my God. When I was doing more carnivore, I think Robbie smiled a little more when he saw me come in. But I still go there several times a week, as opposed to sometimes I was there twice a day. It was ridiculous. Yeah. You know what, Chris? They make really good subs, remarkably good subs, especially the freaking meatball sub. But I was getting so fat, I had to rein in the discipline. So leaner cuts for me now. But the beauty of a store like this is not a supermarket. This is a high-end boutique butcher that procures good products. And so, you know, Robbie's been really great in leading to me to different cuts of meat.
Yeah.
Where I could just kind of really dial in my diet. And I will just say, pro tip, the sous vide for me has been a godsend, especially with those sort of secondary cuts of meat, keeping them tender. So my culinary, you know, offerings have really gone to the next level because of a store like this. And you know what? It was just natural, Chris, that we reach out to Robbie for the project, because you and I were brainstorming one night about different directions to take this company in. And, despite our back steps with the beer, I think you and I did so many things right with the beer that the relaunch is going to be so strong. And I know the listeners are going to love the product that we're going to launch, because I think it's more in their wheelhouse. But this was kind of a natural when we figured we wanted to do a boat snack.
Well, I mean, Robbie, I don't know if you know, but Frank and I are two guys that, like, when we're fishing, we go, you know, sessions 12 hours, sometimes 10 hours on the boat without stopping. So, you know, obviously you need fuel. So we talked about, you know, why don't we think of a ideal fuel, or like, you know, snack on the boat, clean, clean energy, clean meat product or something like pepperoni sticks, beef jerky and stuff. So we were going over all of that stuff, and you're the perfect guy for that. And I think Frank found, like, you know, when he spoke to you, you had all the answers. So that's kind of like why we originated this kind of idea, because this is something that it's easily transportable. It's something that we can pack quickly. You don't have to buy it in bulk, and it will serve its purpose. And then when you join that with like what the kind of meat you're using and the manufacturing process and the quality that you put into it, we think it's a winning situation, like a win-win for us. So I don't know, Frank, if there's anything else you want to say, or you can speak a bit about the process of these snacks, Robbie, but that's kind of like from our end, we're hoping to create that item there that's going to serve that purpose.
And just so the listeners know, the first thing I'd like to get Chris Robbie to talk about is the, we're going to do a line of pepperettes. And, you know, when I think about boat snacks, you know, beef jerky, pepperettes, those are, you know, I don't necessarily want to have a bag of M&Ms in the boat. I don't necessarily want to have even a sandwich in the boat. Although, you know, when you're out on those 12-hour days, Laksul, Chris, like you said, you need food. You need real food. But I want protein, and I want clean protein. And I don't like just picking up the normal mass-produced products, because, number one, I don't think that they're sourcing their meat from optimal locations. You know, I follow a guy named Texas Slim. Do you know who the Beef Initiative? You ever hear of them?
No,
in the States?
No.
So if the listeners want to go on Twitter or whatever and check out the Beef Initiative, what it is it's a network of regional and local ranchers and guys like you, Robbie, that are creating an entire boutique industry that ensures quality of meat and the surety of supply. So this, I think a lot of this gained steam during like the lockdowns and stuff like that, where people are like, you know, I want to know my butcher. I want to know what I'm eating. I want to know that I can get product if I need it. And it's really cool. It's a really cool organization. Check that out. But if you don't mind, why don't you talk about why you and I connected in terms of how, like, I'm impressed with how you source your meat. When I go to you, I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm not getting. It's what I don't want is what I'm not getting. So with the products that we're going to be using for this pepperette line, we're going to do a beef jerky line. That's going to come secondarily. But tell us about how you source this meat and why the meat that you source and the products you make are better than something you might just get off the shelf at a box store or something.
And Robbie, I just want to jump in before you answer that. If you could also add, like, if you could explain in just layman terms the why grass-fed beef is like a leaner or a cleaner beef than a corn-fed beef, if it is or not. But, you know, that's how my understanding and how that's a better product for us.
Yeah, definitely. So the biggest thing is, yeah, where do we source our meat from? What we do is we work directly with the farmer. So we're not getting from a middle guy. Animals are only slaughtered when we place orders, which is, you know, a week and a half in advance. So we go, again, our base standard ABF, hormone-free pasture raised within 2 hours away. So the quality of the animal is very important. The thing is that modern farming now has just been compact, as quickest, as cheapest as the sellers can put out, because the grocery stores want to sell the cheapest thing for the consumer that wants to pay the least amount of money. So we're not everybody's butcher shop. And I say that off the bat. When we started, new people would come in and would say, you know, why should we give you our business? Why should we come here? And it's, you know what, we're not for everybody. And we say that off the bat. We have very specific clientele that wants higher quality stuff, something that's very different from the grocery store. And that starts with the raising of the animal. And that is, these animals are not compact in barns. They're not force-fed. They're not living in their own feces. It's very clean, living, sustainable practices. And we work with very small farmers. And it just goes with the antibiotics and hormones. So the reason why that got introduced into the farms was because animals are just crammed into pens in barns, you know, a fake barn, which is just like a metal shed. So they need the antibiotics. The hormones were given to them so they could grow as quickly as they can, as big as they can, and go straight to market. So a very small farm, farmers that care about the animals, animals that are treated properly, killed sustainably, and then brought to us as whole pieces that we break down so we get all the cuts. when we started doing the grass-fed stuff. So that's 100% grass and finish. A lot of the grass-fed you see now is just grass-fed. And then the last, you know, 3 months, they're fed corn or grain to bulk them up. So we do 100%, which is probably a little bit hard to find in general. And it is a leaner animal. It's a smaller animal because of the diet itself. And the biggest thing you see with the grass-fed is you'll get a little bit of a yellow hue to the fat. And that's because the natural carotene found in the feed transfers into the animal.
So more vitamins.
More vitamins, more minerals.
I'm going to post a picture. I don't know if you remember, but I got a grass-fed from you one day and it was freaking golden. I posted it on my personal Instagram. I'm going to put that picture up as well. I'll put a bunch of pictures that are relative to this discussion.
You would have more energy from a cleaner grass-fed, fully 100% grass-fed cut of meat than you would from a fully corn-fed meat, which would be fattier and less. There'd be more vitamins in there, less protein, less nutrients.
Yes, because of the diet itself. So the animal is eating and then you're eating the animal. So whatever the animal is eating is that's what you're getting back into that meat. So with the grass diet, you get that beta carotene, you get other minerals, other vitamins. Naturally, cows, you know, they're not meant to eat grain and corn 100%. Now, not to say they can't, but, you know, their stomachs and the way they are designed is grass. So the animal is smaller. The meat generally has less marbling, which is not necessarily a bad thing. A ribeye should still be very tender, whether it's very lean or very fatty.
Something really interesting, Chris, is that all the elite athletes in the region, you know, a lot of them go to Robbie for their diet. So I don't know if you know Lucas Body, Chris, but he's one of the most successful pro boxers to come out of Niagara. Okay. He's killing it right now on the world stage. Lucas is always in there. Lucas, I know Lucas pretty well. Great guy. Jasmine Jazz DeVicious, she just murdered her opponent in the UFC, in the last UFC that was in Toronto. She's in there all the time buying food. Not that I'm this, you know, pro world beater, but you know what? For my age and my condition, I'm a pretty high functioning athlete. And so all the people that are educated as to, you know, their health and diet and everything that's come into, you know, almost the mainstream, the people that are in the know are going here. And this is the product we're going to be delivering to our listeners. And it's along the same sort of level of consciousness where we don't want to put garbage into our bodies. We're tearing ourselves up in the boat. We want clean fuel. We want something that has decent protein. And that's what we're going to turn out. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I was lucky enough, like going into your store, you know, I'll go into Norcini. And by the way, everybody, it's Norcini, if anyone's looking to look them up. But, you know, Robbie would say, hey, I'm just working on this here. What do you think? He'd hand me like a giant pepperette or this or that. And it's just, it's awesome. And you know what? These are going to be good snacks for people who care about, you know, how they feel and look.
When you eat that on the boat, Frank, if you're having that clean meat profile and you have like two or three of those snacks or beef jerky from Robbie's shop, as opposed to downing a bag of dill pickle chips or sour cream onion chips, like the energy level and the kind of overall physical mood you have after those two are apples and oranges, right? Like you just want to sit back down after you eat the chips. And I'm learning this now because I've gone like not full carnivore, but I know we talked in the past, I've had some trouble staying on a diet, but I've been pretty religious for the last 3 weeks. And it's been more just animal, like, you know, I'll eat some cheese and stuff, but I'm doing mostly meat. And at first it was really hard, but it's getting way easier. And, you know, missing the carbs, like I haven't had a French fry, a piece of bread, a piece of rice or pasta in 3 weeks. And the first week was a nightmare. You know, my body was going nuts. And now
you're going through the draw.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't now if I have that ribeye or, you know, chicken breast or whatever, I don't feel like that go to bed, lay down, all that like energy drop that I have after I eat those big pasta meals and stuff. So it's definitely getting easier. I don't know if I can sustain it, like how long. Robbie, maybe you could tell me like how long I should be eating meat only before, you know, I'm going to kill myself. But right now, I'm really
sure Robbie's gonna be supportive.
Yeah.
You know what, Chris? Like, we joked in the past about, like, I used to never get into the fishing boat without a bag of chips because it was like these are my cheat days. This is my vacation. But it just, I don't do it anymore. Like, I might take one bag for a 4-day trip and that's it. But it just, like you said, it makes me feel like garbage and I'm sick of it and I don't want to do it. And I've made so many gains this year. You know, I'm pretty much doing paleo. I'll cheat every week to 10 days. Gladly. I went for pizza the other day. I went to North of Brooklyn, which is in Toronto, which Portnoy gave an 8.4. Mm-hmm. So I've been wanting to try that for like a year. I was coaching the ADCC grappling tournament and it was 11 minutes away. So we went there, ate my face off, you know, but it's Chris, when you eat clean, you crave clean after a first initial, and then you have your cheat and then you look forward to cleaning up again. That's the way I find it's happening now that it's like really my life.
We're going back to real food.
Yeah.
It's, you know, whatever propaganda the government was forcing back in the 90s where real butter was bad for you and margarine for some reason was better.
7 servings of grain
right
on like the food pyramid a
it's
day.
It's funny, Robbie, everything I buy now, I buy full fat. I buy the full fat butter, the full fat yogurt, the full fat milk. I don't like anything that has levels of processing and additives. I remove out of my diet now.
Real fat is not bad for you. Butter is good for you. Animal fat is good for you. What's not good for you is seed oils. And the margarine that is just whipped seed oil to aerate it. Twinkies and junk food. Like that's what they've been pushing since the 90s. And anybody now with common sense is realizing is a big movement, you know, 10, 15 years ago started with the whole farm to table stuff is real food. Why are we saying animal fat? Naturally raised animals are bad for you. Bacon's bad for you. Why are they saying that? It was all propaganda to push these big factories that are pushing out all their products that are made with just sugar and fat and seed oils and ingredients that you can't even name.
Cereals, just garbage cereals.
Tons of sugar.
Yeah. Cereals are so bad because not only are they full of sugar for the most, but the glyphosate and the weed killers that are absorbed through the grains that they're made out of, it's freaking awful. And every time my wife gives my kids a bowl of cereal, it's like World War III in this house.
All chemicals and it's all fake. And it was all just to make the elite richer and have people like us being stupid and just eating whatever, being very reliant on the grocery stores and not knowing what's in them and not knowing how to raise their own food.
Right? It doesn't make you full. They're empty calories. So when you do something like eat a bag of chips or eat just anything processed, you know, call it a TV dinner or anything like that, you always want to eat more because you're not getting that nutritional satisfaction. And my wife even said, like, the last 6 months I've been so dialed in, maybe a little more. And she's like, I don't see you snacking anymore. And that's another thing. Like, maybe I'll make a bunch of steaks and I'll have some steak. Maybe I'll take a couple pieces of leftover steak, pop in my mouth, middle of the day, whatever. But you know what? My lunch, I eat a lot of avocado.
Yeah.
I put honey on it. I saw this thing on Instagram, Chris. Camisos that carries our beer, by the way, and we'll be carrying our new line. They have the best avocados. They get the big ones, right? So I get them, cut them in half. This is my lunch every day. It's going to be my lunch after you leave. And if you want to try it, stick around. But cut in half, I put a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of sea salt, and I drizzle honey over it. It doesn't sound like it's that good, but holy shit, is it ever good. And like the fats you get from that kind of lunch, I'll put a cucumber, tomato with it, whatever.
Yeah,
I feel freaking great, man. I go, I teach, train 3-4 hours a night, come home, I'm ravenous.
But you eat good, you feel good, you crave good food, none of this junk. And that's kind of what brings us back to the pepperettes is – what you see in the market right now is garbage. Things like Jack Links and these mass-produced things you can see at the grocery store and the gas station.
Tell us why they're garbage.
Just, you know what? Fillers, one, bad quality meat, right? They want to sell it for the cheapest they can. They have to use cheap product, and that's just very simple economics. But the fillers, the chemicals, the additives, whatever to just fill it up and make it quick and make it cheap. So what we want to do is let's make a very high-quality product at a fair price. We'll use grass-fed beef 100%, and there won't be any fillers, no gluten, no binders, no chemicals. And what we're doing is we're using celery extract, because obviously there's a lot of mandates in Ontario when you start to manipulate cheese and dairy and meat products. So there has to be some sort of nitrate, but instead of actually using nitrate, we're going to use celery extract, which is acceptable, and it's a natural form of it. We're going to use sea salt instead of, you know, regular table salt.
Which can have sugar in it, by the way. Which
can be a lot of
Chris,
filler.
Did you know that some sugar, some salts have sugar in it?
I learned that there's sugar in freaking everything. Like from milk to salt to you name it, whatever you put in your body, unless you cut it out of the animal, it's probably got sugar in it.
Well, that's, Chris, we joke, but this is what they say. They say shop the outside four walls of the supermarket. Sure. Right, because everything in the inside doesn't require refrigeration. It's processed and preserved, and those are words to live by. And like, geez, my day, Chris. Like, I shop almost every day because I like fresh food. I live in a small community. I'm able to do it. I'm self-employed. I'm not, you know, I'm lucky enough to have the lifestyle. But for my meat, I go see Robbie. For everything else that I need, you know, I either go to, in the summer, I'll go to a local fruit stand, fruit and vegetables. I'll go to Camiso's, which is my favorite boutique supermarket. And now we have a fish market in town, Tide and Vine.
Yep.
I stop by there all the time.
Good guys.
Great products. They're kind of like you are. You know, they have an eye to quality.
Yep.
And, you know, to me, it's all about local small businesses and know the source of the proteins that you're eating. It's super important.
So Robbie, back to that. So we have this clean meat profile. Talk a bit about the flavoring. You mentioned the salt. So is it basically we take the beef and then we just add a layer of seasoning, like salts and peppers and stuff like that? There's no like liquid sauces or sugar sauces going into this. It's just like natural spices to flavor the meat.
Correct. So what we're going to do is we're going to take lean grass-fed beef. And if we add fat in there, that's not the issue. The reason why we're doing it lean, that just goes with the fermentation and the smoking process. So not that we're making this lean because fat is bad. We're making it lean because it will create a better product, a better chew, just with the fermentation and the smoke. So we're starting with very lean grass-fed beef. It gets grinded and it gets seasoned. So we're not using any kind of like seasoning powders. We're using, again, the sea salt. We have some black pepper in there. We have some cayenne, just regular 100% spices. From there, the celery powder extract will go in. We're using, so with the fermentation process and bacteria, things like that, is we do need some sort of sugar for the good bacteria to feed on. And that's where we're using 100% maple syrup. So it's not a lot of sugar, but the sugar we are using is 100% natural. So maple syrup will go in there. And from there, it'll get pumped into casings and then it will get naturally smoked. So we're not talking about adding any liquid smoke or dyes, things like that. It goes into a big smoker that's fed with real wood and it gets smoked for about 12 hours. From there, it will get dried for another 12 hours. And then after drying, it will get packaged.
That sounds dynamite, Frank. Robbie,
I'm excited and hungry at the same time.
And on a bonus, it will be shelf stable, but not because of chemicals, but because one of just the high quality beef. Beef itself is not bad or spoiled. But the thing is, with then the fermentation and the drying and the smoking, it will naturally preserve the product. And then being vacuum sealed, it doesn't need to be refrigerated, which makes it the perfect.
And we talked about this, Robbie. So when you're on the boat and you have a pack of three or four, whatever, you open that, you don't have to consume that all that boat trip.
Like, I mean, you will, they're so good. But not because you have to.
Yeah, it won't go bad the next day. Like you have
it. Won't go bad. They're fully stable, and it's dried cured meat. So I mean, even if it wasn't vacuum sealed, you open it, it's going to be fine. It's fully clean meat. It has the natural smoke to it, where it's smoked. The moisture is out of there. It's been dried. Like it's fine.
So in case the listeners are wondering, it looks like we're going to offer packages of three. These are long pepperettes. They're not like the small ones that you used to see at the supermarket. They're long. So it's a good volume. And what I would like to do, if it's possible, and I don't even know that we've talked about this, Chris, but on our website, I'd love to offer the option for people to buy a box of them.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Like if you're a guide and you want to gear up for the season, you might want to have a box of these because, you know, every day you're just going to take, or if you're a lodge, you want to offer them or whatever.
Yeah, bulk.
Chris, what do you think of that, Chris?
Yeah, of course. If we have we can do a bulk option for people, like you said, we want to buy something for, like we talk about someone wants to go on a week trip and you have four or five guys or, you know, a family with you, buy a box and that lasts you for the week, 7 days, right? Like,
there you go.
And there's super clean eating, and it's a lot of protein per stick because it's just 100% beef. There's no filler in there where half of it's flour or oats or gluten.
Right.
So it's a really high protein snack. You're going to be eating it all the time, and you don't feel shitty afterwards. You don't feel bloated. and it's not salty. A lot of times when you eat these pepperettes or things like chips, whatever, you're very salty after. This is not salty.
Yeah.
And you won't be craving water afterwards.
The ones I used to buy at Kmiso's, like, I think it's Denninger's line.
Yep.
I think. And they like roll them in salt.
Yeah.
And after you're like, you go to bed and you wake up at 2 a.m. and you like crawl to the fridge for something to drink. So again, guys and girls, the people that are listening, the idea is to have something super tasty, but that isn't going to just wretch your body, especially when you're casting in, you know, 80-degree, 90-degree heat, whatever that is.
No, super clean eating, high in protein, all natural, naturally smoked. It's going to be a really good product. Cool. Your listeners are going to love it. They're going to buy a pack. They're going to eat the whole thing very quickly, and they're going to come back and buy a box of it.
And then can we start the sockeye salmon next product? Because I absolutely love smoked salmon. Do you do any of that?
We don't. You know, I'm in the meat game with Norcini, and that's where it kind
you
of
just started. You know, getting into the fish game though, right?
Yeah, a little bit. We carry some really nice wild caught products. Just a couple in the freezer, just to give those options.
We can talk about that down the road then.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
After the jerky.
Next stop is jerky, right? Yeah, and, exactly. You know, maybe we'll have Robbie back for when we do the launch of that, and we'll talk. And it's a product that
I don't think you've ever had some really good sockeye smoked salmon from Scotland or something like that. It's incredible. You know,
Chris, I haven't because, like, my tastes are changing. I think a lot of us are as we get older. I never really liked smoked salmon. Like, I hot smoke salmon on my smoker, and I love it. But I've never really loved smoked salmon, but maybe I've never really just had great smoked salmon. So I'm totally open to it.
Yeah, and all it right. just starts I'll with high quality product to start. Yeah. Whatever we're going to do, it starts with high quality product first with a high quality farmer that is doing things the right way.
But you guys are, so you're making beef jerky now. You guys are doing like a trial.
Yeah, we're doing some concepting with the smokehouse. It's going to be really good stuff. We've already tried some stuff and we're just working on tweaking the recipe, figuring out logistics of transportation and packaging.
Awesome.
Robbie, if anybody wants to order a product from you, is there a website they can do that for, or they have to come in the shop?
We do have a website because everything of us, like it's not always in stock, and that's okay with us is, you know, we bring in all four animals at different parts of the week. We break everything down. We put everything in the case, and when we're sold out, we're sold out, and we're okay with that because we keep it fresh. We keep it tight. We got a super small team that's very skilled. But our customers know that everything is very fresh and we sell out and everything's very high quality and we're okay doing that. So nothing is really online. There's a lot of information online about our packages and who we are and what we do. But you can come in, get something. You can do a lot of pre-orders. A lot of our sales are pre-orders because people know we sell out and people want very specific things.
Yeah.
And we cut the animal once. We cut in a certain way for what the pre-orders want. So come on in, Norcini Co. on Portage Road, Niagara Falls. You can go online, norcinico.ca.
You still doing the boxes, the grass-fed boxes?
Yeah. So we do different animal shares. So that's someone who comes in every day anyways, getting, you know, this day they're getting steak, the next day they're getting ground beef, the next day they're getting roast. What we've done is we created share packages, and that is all online as well. What you can do is get a little bit of everything. We do half cows, whole cows, quarter cows, and that goes the same with all the animals. So you want a half lamb, half pig, whatever you want, we can do it. And if we don't, if it's not spec, you can just ask us and we'll spec it out for you. We do a lot of custom things, but that's a grass-fed beef share program. So you get steaks, you get roast, you get grind, you get stock, you get tallow, you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah. The tallow is a big one too, Chris. Like it's really great to cook with.
Yeah, you used to make some french fries with tallow. That's what made them taste so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus it has a better smoke point than most oils and
everything.
You're not
it's natural.
Seed oil.
Personally, I only use tallow and butter. And the tallow I use is I mean, we do two different, we do a grass-fed beef tallow, which is good, but we do a dry-aged beef tallow as well. And anything I cook, especially protein, is all in tallow. And that's getting away from that whole seed oil stuff. And not only is the tallow better for you, it tastes better, it's cleaner, it's got a better smoking point. It's just a win-win.
Yeah.
Sure do you is. Do a bone broth?
We do bone broth. It's bone broth season right now. So we sell a lot of bone broth. We do chicken, beef, and we do a grass-fed beef bone broth.
Nice.
Chris, you're going to love it, man. We'll go in the summer when you're here. We'll go.
Eating the Archer one. Do you know Archer bone broth?
No.
Yeah, I've been ordering them on iHerb. That's where I get mine from.
It's great. I know Frank was even buying lots of bone broth before the grass-fed bone broth, and you were saying big improvement in skin, your joints.
Oh God, yeah, right? My joints, especially my fingers. And then I stopped training in the gi a lot, and that really helped with my fingers. But I was really liking it. I was buying those boxes from you too, and yeah. I put a whack of them in my freezer and cooking with them, making, you know, instead of using stock, I'd use bone broth and stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, if you're year round, you're close, you come every day, you pick up what you need for that night, like you said.
I just started making my own bone broth too. Right?
It's so, very easy, very simple. You can get the bones from us too. We sell a lot of bones for people that want to do it themselves. But it's just going back to basics, going back to forgetting the nonsense and the garbage that we were all taught, and just going back to using common sense, which really isn't that common anymore, but just getting real food in you and maybe skipping the morning coffee and substituting that with bone broth. Now, I love my coffee.
Yeah.
But doing simple things and incorporating these things back in your diet is a game changer.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay, Chris, sitting at about an hour, Robbie's time is valuable. Is there anything else we should, I think we've covered the product perfectly, unless there's something else you think we've missed. If not, maybe we can ask a question or two that might be, helpful to the listeners regarding, you know, buying meat in general. What do you think?
Okay. I did ask that one between corn and grass, so I'm not sure. Like, I could throw one thing out there that, but this, I don't know. I'm not sure if the listeners, this would help them, but I have where I shop, I have like, I have ribeyes to choose from, and they're usually from New Zealand. And then every once in a while, like a high grade Canadian ribeye will come into the market where I shop, and it's infinitely better. And I don't know why. I don't know, like, is the beef in New Zealand shit or it's amazing and they just give us the bad stuff where I live? But is the Canadian beef that good? Because it's just so much better when we get them, like, then they sell out really quick. We don't get a lot of it, but when it does come, it's really high quality.
So. It could be different grading practices or farming practices. Mostly everywhere in Canada besides Ontario, the beef is all grass-fed. It's really only in Ontario where it's grain and corn. But it could be a grading thing. It could be just a farming practice. I mean, any first world country does good beef, like Australian beef, U.S. does good beef. But it could just be a grading thing. Although the standards in Canada and especially Ontario are just, there is a lot of high regulations, and that's just to kind of protect the consumer about things. So it could be one of those options.
Yeah. Well, I never can complain when I get the ribeye from Canada. It's always top quality.
Yeah. And we can talk about the cuts, like as you know, a butcher shop owner and like, I don't do a lot of the full animal breakdown. I have very, very skilled guys and butchers that do a lot about of that.
Cuts. That's a good idea, Chris. I think the listeners would love to talk about the cuts. Right before we turned the mics on, I was showing you a picture and I put it on our Facebook a while ago, Chris. I know you didn't see it, but a lot of the listeners did. And it was a ribeye in a New York. And I said, well, which one do you prefer? And of course, everybody said ribeye, which surprised me. It did and it didn't. But I've kind of fallen in love with New York strips. Now, you got to cook them right, though, right? So what do you got? The prime cuts, and then you got the kind of the B-level cuts?
Yeah, you have what you call like your primary cuts, which are your strip, your ribeye, your tenderloin. And then you go down to your secondary cuts, like your skirt, your bavette, your flank steak, your flat iron. The lesser known cuts, because, you know, in your supermarket, you just see those three big names, the strip, the ribeye.
Not in your store, though.
Not in my store. You get everything because we bring in the full animal. And our people, our customers, they like those secondary cuts.
I love the bad.
And they're great cuts.
Fan, yeah.
There's not necessarily a wrong cut in the cow. You just have to cook it properly. So, I mean, the ossobuco, that's not a grilling steak, right? So if you put that on the grill, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah.
But every cut has its own way. You braise it. You braise it. You braise it properly. You get a good sear. You get your tallow in there, your stock, your wine. You braise it. It's going to be great.
Amazing. And then you got the bone marrow you can scoop out.
Yeah, your bone marrow. But I mean, I would recommend is go to your butcher shop. Ask them about the secondary cuts. Ask them about the skirt and how to cook it. The big thing with cooking as well is getting that proper sear, but resting. You have to rest your meat. You have to. If you do, like, I can give you, and we've had instances where people come in and say, oh yeah, that steak was kind of tough, this and that. And I say, okay, well, you know, how is your cooking process? Did you rest it? Did you slice it? Was it against the grain? Was it with the grain?
What do you mean by resting? Can you define resting? Just letting it sit?
Yeah. So think about when you work out. and let's say you're training your biceps and you work out, you work your biceps out for 45 minutes, right? They're pumped, right? They're tender, they're pumped. There's a lot of blood in them. They're fragile, right? So imagine that like your steak. You go in to cook that, you know, it's tough because your muscle is all hyped up. Mm. Where you let it rest, the juices come out, they come back in. You need to let it rest. And that's just cooking a steak number one. Is you don't rest your meat, it's probably not going to be a good steak.
Yeah. Yeah. I rest. It's hard because when your steak is sitting there looking at you, but like I at least try to rest for 8 minutes, yeah. 7-8 minutes at least.
Even if you do a roast, you know, if you're doing a 10-pound roast, I go 45-minute rest.
Well, that's a whole different story.
If I'm doing a steak, yeah, like 5 to 10 minutes. 5 minutes at the very minimum.
Okay, here's a question then, Robbie. When you're resting, can you put the season, like can you put the salt and pepper and maybe like some butter based on there while it's resting, or you want to just leave it on its own? And do you fork it when you're resting it? Like do you fork it and let it aerate a little bit, or like
no, you definitely don't fork it because that's like pretty much just cutting into your steak. You're like stabbing the muscle when it's tight and sensitive.
Okay.
So you got to let it rest. You can season it afterwards. I mean, personally, I like seasoning it beforehand. Salt and pepper. That's it. I'm tasting the quality of the beef.
It's a better crust when you season it too, right?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's all based on preference. Like, there's no necessarily right or whatever works for you. But I mean, there's definitely better ways to do things that will lead to a better result.
Yeah, and to me, like. I do my steaks different ways, but I love to do the sous vide because it's my lifestyle. I love to put the sous vide on for 3-4 hours, go to work, train, come home, and then it's like a minute aside on the highest heat I can get it, get a good crust bark, and the salt and pepper really facilitates that crust. So, and then what I'll do is I'll rest the steak, even though with the sous vide, they say you don't have to rest. That's what Antonio Meleca told us. I still rest a little bit, but then I cut it. And then I finish it with flaky salt.
Yeah.
So I get a flake salt for that. And then I have a smoked flake salt too if I want to do something different.
The Malden?
Oh my God. No, I got
Fleur de Sel.
I think that's what it is.
Fleur de Sel, yeah.
The green and blue and then the orange.
That's Malden. Yeah. That's Malden.
Is it Malden?
Yeah.
And that's really brought a lot to me. So, Chris, what I'm saying is, I pre-season, but then I finish with salt as well. And it's.
And you know, you buy good quality beef, you just need salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And that's all you want. And these rubs and these condiments came out just because the beef is flavorless and there's no flavor. People don't know how to cook, but you get a good sear, you get good quality beef. You just want salt and pepper. You want to taste the beef.
So now I will say, Chris, I will say real quick, sorry, that Antonio Meleca from the Eat and Wild podcast is coming out with his own line of spices. I'm not sure if they're already out or coming out. He sent me a bunch of packs. Like really high end imported from Asia and Europe. I'll show you before you leave. And I've never been a chimichurri fan. I bought some chimichurri stuff from you and I didn't love it. Not because I didn't love your products. It's just the chimichurri stuff I didn't love, but the dry rub. I put it on a ribeye. I put it on one of those veal ribeyes the other night. And I'm I like to taste the meat guy. And I told Antonio this, Chris. I said, I'm a salt pepper guy. I like to taste the meat. This rub on this veal ribeye was freaking incredible. I'm not sure I'm going to do it all the time, but I'm going to do it here and there. It was really good. Yeah, I'm excited to show you. You'll see. Sorry, Chris. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to – like he mentioned the quality of beef is so important. So maybe, I mean, just the last question here, if you could go over, you know, like for the listeners, what is the lowest quality you would recommend? Like you have the obviously you have prime and then you have AAA, AA, I think A. Like, is there a standard that you would, you know, like set the bar at? Like at least AA is what you should buy, or it depends on what meat you're buying?
Yeah, it depends what you're doing. Like secondary cuts, you know, you don't really need the grade, and the grade is just based on marbling. So if you have a single A ribeye, you know, there's not going to be any marbling. Versus, you know, AA will have more, AAA will have quite a bit, and then a prime will have your most. You don't necessarily need fat to have a tender steak, but it definitely does help. And it kind of just goes to the meat. It's kind of like variable hit or miss too sometimes. But I mean, just buy a marbled steak if you want it. But I mean, like even the grass-fed ribeyes generally don't have much marbling at all and would probably grade between single A and AA. But when cooked properly, they're very tender. So I think not necessarily does the grade mean anything, but maybe just the quality of it. So the grade is based on marbling. I don't think you need tons of marbling, but I think it's just buying a good source.
I love when I go to your store and I see I'm not a dry age guy, as you know. I'm going to work my way up there. I just, it's a weird thing with me. When I see a fresh ribeye and it's marbled up, I'm just like, get the knife. Like, yeah. I'll get 4, 5, 6 ribeyes. You know, they're great over there, Crystal. They know I like to do the sous vide. They will spice and backpack the steaks individually for me. And it just makes my life so much easier to eat clean when you use the sous vide. You can just go to work, run the damn thing for however many hours you want. And listeners, if any of this is of interest to you, like, sous vide wine is like $150-$200. You can control them with your phone. It's really easy. All you need is a pot of water.
Yeah.
And then I would advise to get a cast iron surface and or a grill and finish to get that sear. And it's wonderful. Really good. I'm so hungry right now. I'm in hour 15 of a fast right now. I'm freaking dying.
Well, that was great. I think we covered everything, Robbie. By the way, you know, we obviously appreciate you coming over to Frank's place and doing this. I know you're probably really busy. You are really busy, so we really appreciate it, as always, your time and all the stuff you offered today, your expert advice. So, Frank, I don't know. Is there anything else we want to ask him? But I think we covered everything.
I think we did a good job of knocking things off that we wanted to get to today. Yeah,
no worries, guys. Love to chat with you guys. Thanks for having me. It's good always to chat about meat, and very excited about the pepperettes we're going to do.
It's going to be a great project.
In the near future, it's going to be just really high-quality product, and I think your fans and listeners are going to love it.
Cool.
But yeah, you can check out our Instagram. We post lots. We've got some really nice content. Norcini Co. on Instagram and Facebook, or norcinico.ca online. And if you have any questions, just shoot us a DM, shoot us an email. I'll be happy to help.
I'll tag Norcini in the pictures I put up on Friday when this launches, so everybody will be able to have a quick button press to get over. Check them out, you guys. The place is awesome. If you're anywhere near the region,
all right,
go in, tell them we sent you. Talk to Robbie, tell them we sent you, and they'll take good care of you. All right, Chris.
Till next time. Anything else for me? Maybe you want to do a quick shout about sponsors, and then we'll close it up.
Yeah. Leave a review, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, please, listeners. It really helps the show. It helps our rankings, helps our sponsors, helps everybody with exposure, and we would really appreciate it. Plus, we love to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, hopefully the good. And if you're a sponsor, big, small, doesn't matter the size of your industry, we have packages and options, a la carte options, where you can do very small ad spends. And don't forget, this is a podcast. This is not network TV, although we have a network TV component because the Get In There segment of the Fish and Canada TV show. Now, if you guys are watching that show, you can see at the end of the show when they do the Get In There segment, Chris and mine and Chris's faces pop up. The show pops up. It's awesome. So you get a national TV exposure element with podcast rates, but it lives in perpetuity on our servers. So the new listeners that we're getting by the hundreds every month will come in and download old episodes, and they will get exposure to your ads. So it's a one-time ad spend with multiple perpetual exposures. There's nothing like it. It's a great way to publicize your business. So get in touch through social media or through our website, and I will get to those messages and get you our deck. And I think our sponsors have been very, very happy so far with the arrangements. And we're looking to grow that. And so thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for Robbie again for coming in. Thanks to our sponsors, Izoco, Angling Edge. Anderson's Lodge is also a sponsor now, and a couple more that we're going to be happy to bring on. So until next time, guys and girls, thanks for listening.
A small-town sheet metal mechanic come to build one of Canada's most iconic fishing lodges? I'm your host, Steve Nidzwicki, and you'll find out about that and a whole lot more on the Outdoor Journal Radio Network's newest podcast, Diaries of a Lodge Owner. But this podcast will be more than that. Every week on Diaries of a Lodge Owner, I'm going to introduce you to a ton of great people, share their stories of our trials, tribulations, and inspirations. learn, and have plenty of laughs along the way.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there bobbing along, trying to figure out how to catch a bass. And we both decided one day we were going to be on television doing a fishing show.
My hands get sore a little bit when I'm reeling in all those bass in the summertime, but that's might be for more fishing than it was punching.
You so confidently, you said, "Hey, Pat, have you ever eaten a drum?"
Find Diaries of a Lodge Owner now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips, swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.
No matter what species you love to target, from boot to headlamp, Angling Sports has what you need. Their store is massive, and it's just loaded with equipment and apparel. So if you love to go after those big toothy critters like we do, it's a one-stop shop for all pike and musky tackle. Whether you're looking for trolling rods or casting reels, Angling Sports is always adding the latest and best industry offerings from entry level to higher end. Looking for custom musky baits? They got them. It's worth the drive to London, so check out their amazing store in person or online by visiting anglingsports.ca and net that PB in style.
Do you know the name of Canada's one and only specialized pike and muskie shop? It's Izoco, and it's an Esox angler's paradise, offering the very best in hand-picked, top-quality gear, from bait casting to fly fishing, and even specialized Scandinavian tackle. Izoco's staff will provide expert advice and top-quality service. But Izoco is more than just a store. It's a community of passionate anglers that make up the Izoco tribe, and they're always ready to share tips and swap stories. So head over to their shop in person or online at izocofishing.com and let Izoco turn those fishing trips into epic stories.